It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's a great football team with a lot of moral fiber and a lot of character, and they showed it.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast, hosted by Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot.
No place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
Presented by Syracuse.com and NYUp.com.
The Bills make me wanna. Yes!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back into Shout, a Buffalo Bills football podcast. A little early afternoon edition on this Wednesday. Usually we'd be in prime time, but right now we are coming to you with a little afternoon drive time edition of Shout. He is Ryan Talbot. I'm Matt Parrino. I'm putting out my 53-man roster projection a little bit later today. And I already sent it out to the insiders and got some of their feedback. I'll share some of that over the course of the show today as we go position by position. I'd like to get Ryan's thoughts on what he thought made sense, what he might have changed. We'll get into all that in a second. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Matt. Excited to be back here and chatting Bills with you as we start talking 53-man roster projections. Not quite with the schedule release yet, as that got pushed back a week, but still plenty to talk about.
So The exercise that we're about to go through here is kind of silly. Like, right, let's be honest, like a 53-man roster projection in May, when these guys have not even stepped foot on a football field yet, in any type of competitive situation, it's hard. But I think what this does is it kind of sets the table before the start of rookie minicamp at what are our expectations going into this thing. And then we can kind of chart over the course of the summer how those expectations maybe change based on what we see on the field and what we hear from the Bills and so on and so forth.
Yeah, you're right. To a certain extent, it's silly because you project these guys, I project these guys, and there's an injury that takes place, or that, you know, they come in and they don't adapt to the new system or the playbook and they look out of place. Someone surprises you on that UDFA list maybe. So it is in a sense, but it's also good to get a feel for what this roster could potentially look like come September.
So the first two positions are basically easy home run, like put it down, set it and forget it. Quarterback, Josh Allen, Mitch Trubisky, Shane Bouchel as the cut. And listen, the Bills are high on Shane Bouchel. I just don't think he's going to beat out Mitch Trubisky, knowing how much they coveted him a couple years ago to be able to get him back. I think he kind of fits that perfect mold. And we'll see what they do with Bouchel. At running back, James Cook, the rookie Ray Davis, Ty Johnson, and Reggie Gilliam, Darrington Evans, and the legendary Frank Gore Jr. By the way, I have UDFAs in this 53-man roster projection. The Bills have not announced those yet, but at last count, I believe that 11 UDFA signings.
Yeah, it's been a while since I posted those, but yeah, it was around 11 players, and surprised it hasn't been announced yet now that you mentioned that.
Anything off the beaten path here in the first two positions?
No. And, you know, Frank Gore Jr., obviously, I don't have him on my initial 53-man roster projection, but I thought he was a good player in college. I think he's one injury away from potentially getting elevated from the practice squad if the Bills are able to get him on said practice squad. So I still have high hopes for Gore. But the way Ty Johnson ran last year, I don't see him losing a roster spot here. They draft Ray Davis. Like you said, those first two spots are pretty much set in stone.
Mm-hmm. Pops Mafia, what's up in the comments over on YouTube, asks how many total players are currently signed. If you use the UDFAs, which I think will probably get announced today or tomorrow because the Bills have rookie minicamp on Friday. So my guess is that will all be finalized. And who knows, maybe there's another UDFA out there. I have the count at 87. And what that is actually is 86 because Travis Clayton does not count against the 90-man roster limit because he's part of the International Pathway Program.
Yeah, that's well said. So a few spots left over. Like you said, there could be another UDFA. The Bills like to always leave a few spots as well for the rookie minicamp. Some of the players that they're bringing in, if they impress, you can sign them to a UDFA contract after the fact. So good to have a little bit of wiggle room there as well.
And I don't think this is going to be a kind of work as you go type situation on the roster. Like there could be a, you know, we could see over the next couple of weeks, the Bills add a couple of players, get to 91, find another player in June, later on June that they like, you know, cut somebody, yeah, sign that person. You could see that happen all the way up until training camp, during training camp and preseason. I think Brandon Bean is going to be working this roster all the way up till that 53-man roster breakdown. And then beyond, like into the season, like whether it be via trade, whether it be by a free agent that hits the market after the initial 53-man rosters are set, like, you know, Dwayne Smoot is a guy that the Bills added last week. If it comes along that they can find maybe an upgrade over what they think Smoot could be after they get him in their building, maybe they look to kind of move in that direction, or maybe they move on from a guy like Kingsley Jonathan or try to get him back on their practice squad. Javon Solomon is a young player. We'll talk about that position group in a little while, but this is by no means a finished product when they get to 91.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, we talked already quite a bit about post-June 1st when the $10 million from the Trey White deal comes free. Some of that goes to the draft class. Some of it goes to the UDFAs. But that gives them a little bit of extra spending money as well when the time comes in terms to maybe address some needs.
Roy Collins on YouTube asked, does rookie minicamp include camp invites? Yes, indeed, yes, it does. So I'll post the full roster once the Bills put it out. They usually put it out from their PR account. Buffalo Bills PR on Twitter. They'll have that whole roster card of all the invites, all the rookies. And sometimes there's been players in the past. I mean, obviously pathway program players like Christian Wade. There was one year, Ryan, where there was like a second year receiver. I can't remember who it was who just showed up to rookie minicamp after redshirting as a rookie. So who knows? It'll be interesting to see what the roster looks like. And it's also important. We'll be live right after minicamp, like with our podcast on Friday. Take everything with a grain of salt because you'll look at some of the quarterbacks that they bring in to throw to these guys. You gotta remember that when you're taking all that in.
Absolutely. It's not Josh Allen slinging the ball around. It's not even Mitch Trubisky. It's some guys that probably will not be in the league or will be battling to stay in the league for over the next few years. Could even be in those developmental leagues sooner rather than later.
So this is the first year of kid pitch for Little League, my son and his little teammate. So I'm teaching all these kids to pitch. And the one constant that I have to kind of deal with is these kids want to throw like two seam fastballs and curveballs and stuff. They're kids. They're trying to have fun.
Right.
I don't allow curveballs. You can't throw curveballs until you're like 12 or 13. You don't want to start like mess up your arm, mess right up your elbow. But in 53-man roster projections, you bring out the dirty 12-6 curveball. And I have the Bills going 7 wide receivers, Ryan. And when you first take a look at the list of names here, you know, I think at the start, the first 4 are locks, right? You have Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir. And I think Mac Hollins has become in that lock category. The way that Brandon Bean has talked about him, what they can do with him on special teams as a blocker, as a deep threat, as a veteran wide receiver in that room, I think Mac Hollins is as close to a lock as you can get. Then I have Justin Shorter. Listen, I'm giving Shorter the advantage, even though Tyrell Shavers was noteworthy, like was the first name that Brandon Bean mentioned a couple weeks ago after the draft when talking about guys that they're high on. But Shorter has that special teams acumen. He was a draft pick. I'm just going to give him the leader in the clubhouse and give him that roster spot over Shavers. But that could flip-flop. We'll see what happens in the summer. Then I have the Bills keeping KJ Hamler and Chase Claypool. We have not gotten your thoughts on the Claypool signing yet. On the Shout podcast, we went with an emergency pod last week. The reason I have both of them staying is because I don't know how much Josh Allen's going to play in the preseason. I don't know how much of a look the Bills are going to get at whatever Hamler can be in this offense, whatever Claypool can be in this offense with Josh Allen in a game setting. So you bring all 7 on the roster with you on, into the regular season, and you take a 3 or 4 game sample size and say, okay, let's see what works. This is all the stuff we like that's happening in practice. Let's apply some of it to the game. See if one of these two guys hits. And if neither hit, if one of them hit, maybe if both hit, I don't know if both will have a role. You could kind of figure out the roster gymnastics on the other side of things. But I think both of these guys are here because of the potential upside. And I think you're going to want to see a little bit of upside in a game environment. And maybe we see a little bit more Josh Allen in preseason so they can get a look at it.
Yeah. So the last three names you mentioned, I would put them in the have a shot category. So Justin Shorter, I know he has his own Justin Shorter hive here in Buffalo. A lot of people believe he is going to emerge as a contributor here in year two. Chase Claypool has not had good quarterback play over the last few years. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. He has not been much of a factor the last few seasons.
But it's a fact.
But it is a fact. That's exactly it. You need to point that out before you say anything else, or as you're talking or evaluating the player, because early in his career, he did some good things when Ben Roethlisberger still had an arm and a shoulder that could throw the football. He did some nice things early in his career, but he did nothing in Chicago. He did nothing in Miami. Miami obviously has a very good offense, but he was buried on the depth chart there. Still kind of never had that opportunity. You guys, and again, you know, his claim to fame in Miami is a target thrown his way was intercepted by the Bills in that final game to seal the division. So that's kind of how I remember him in his stint in Miami. In Buffalo, he's going to play with Josh Allen. This is kind of his last chance to kind of prove himself, in my opinion, in this league. I know he's still a very young player, but when you go 3, 4, 5 years and you're not producing, it gets harder and harder to find a roster spot there. So he's definitely in my have a shot category. KJ Hamler, we've talked a lot about him. The Bills talked, at least, you know, Brandon Bean talked at one point about the need for speed on this offense. Well, Hamler has it. If he can stay healthy, he's definitely right there. Quintez Cephas, he did not make your 53-man roster projection. I put him in this category of has a shot. Mm-hmm. He was a contributor early on in his career in Detroit. I know that there was the betting suspension last year. He's been on the IR a few times, but same thing as Hamler. If he can stay healthy, I think there's a chance for him to make this roster. And you mentioned Shavers as well. I don't think it was an accident that Brandon Bean mentioned him. I think that, well, from what I remember last year, he was a highly coveted UDFA, a priority for the Bills, if you will, in terms of who they wanted to sign after the draft, and they were able to get him. So I have a large pool of have-a-shot players, but you're right. Those first four are locked in for me. After that, it's anyone's guess, Matt.
So the big pushback, and I'm seeing some of it in the comments on Claypool, are the character concerns, right? Like, does he have a winning attitude? Is he fully bought in? I don't know. Like, I'm willing to give a young player a pass on a couple of these kinds of things that have come up. You know, quitting on your team has been something that I've seen kind of bantied about quite a bit. The guy hasn't really had a whole lot of leadership at his position in the league. When he comes into the league, he's in a wide receiver room with Juju Smith-Schuster, who's taking him out to the 50-yard line before the game to film TikTok videos. That's his vet in the room. That's his leader in the room. And while being in that room, he goes for 950 and 9 touchdowns at 84-yard long. There was so much noise around Chase Claypool being like a burgeoning star as a rookie. You know, it was like the sky's the limit for this kid. Year two, Ben Roethlisberger falls off a cliff. He can't complete passes. We all watched those games. It was really rough. His numbers weren't the same. And then when the shift over to Kenny Pickett, it did not work. They didn't have enough talent there. Claypool was asked to be kind of a veteran in a room of very immature, young wide receivers. And that wasn't an environment where he can thrive. I think you build a culture like Buffalo to be able to give a guy who's, to your point earlier, is on maybe his last chance in the NFL. Like, isn't that worth a dart to say, okay, now you're going to get a motivated guy, maybe a guy that's willing to listen, willing to learn the error of his ways and maybe figure out a way to be a different version of himself in Buffalo. That's Sean McDermott's marching orders. Come to Buffalo to be the best version of yourself. If they can get the best version of Chase Claypool, that's a really good cog in this wide receiver machine here.
Yeah, it'll be great beyond the front four because you need someone to step up. He has shown the ability to contribute in this league, minus Miami. Those offenses that he was in Pittsburgh and in Chicago, were just bad all around, not just at wide receiver, not just at quarterback. Those were bad offenses. Again, the Miami offense stands out as a doesn't fit into that category. Their offense, obviously, though, may not have fit his skill set. They're built on speed. They're built on explosive plays. They're built on timing with Tua throwing the ball. So that might have just been a bad fit. I know it sounds like a lot of excuses. I'm sure we'll get a lot of comments on YouTube about stop making excuses for the guy. But again, a lot of this is facts, and he's coming to a team that has a good offensive mind for their offensive coordinator, an elite quarterback. So this gives him a chance.
And listen, seven wide receivers is a bit of a, you know, a stretch. The Bills probably only end up keeping six, and maybe this is just a cheap little maneuver on my end because I didn't want to make a hard decision. And that's perfectly fine. But like, it's not about the excuses. It's about the situation that we're in here. He's coming to a situation where the Bills signed off on bringing him in. There's got to be a reason for that. There's got to be conversations that were had that made them feel comfortable with bringing him into the room. And I'll tell you right now, all the people that are sitting here in the comments right now talking about stop making excuses for Chase Claypool are going to say the same thing in 4 months. If Chase Claypool's catching touchdown passes from Josh Allen, they'll be making excuses for why they were telling people not to make excuses 4 months earlier. So let's all take a deep breath. It is a bare bones, bare minimum investment by the Bills. He's going to get no money, no guaranteed contract. You come in here, you try to earn a roster spot. These are the kind of moves that a team like the Bills, a consistent contender, has to make when they're reshaping their salary cap.
Yeah, with the money and the restrictions, this is a guy that you take a chance on, you throw a dart at, you hope for the best.
Indeed. And some other, there was another comment in here, maybe from Pops Mafia, says the Bills don't have a vet in the wide receiver room. I think Matt Collins is that guy. He's been around the league. Bean's already raved about his DNA being the perfect fit. You know, Curtis Samuel's been around the block. I mean, what is he, 7 years in the league? I mean, that's a vet, right? Like, yeah, he played four years in Carolina, 3 years in Washington. And oh, by the way, guys and gals, Josh Allen is actually in the Bills' offensive meeting rooms and is allowed to be the leader of this offense. And, you know, I think it's just about bringing a collection of, and listen, he might come in here and it just might not be a fit. And we might get 2 days into training camp and Brandon Bean pulls the cord and says, this is it. We're done. We tried it. It didn't work. And that's fine too. It's still, I think, worth the chance of revitalizing the career of a second round draft pick who caught 9 touchdown passes as a rookie.
Yep. Completely agree. So, you know, tight end position, Matt, I don't think there's any surprises there. I thought when you first sent me your version of the 53-man roster projection, I thought offensive and defensive line were the toughest calls by far.
So hard.
There's so many talented players that aren't going to be on this roster come September, based on how much talent the Bills have.
So yeah, Kincaid, Knox, Quinton Morris, take it to the bank. It is written in pen. Morris, special team standout. The Bills will go with three tight ends there. So I have Deion Dawkins, Spencer Brown, Connor McGovern, David Edwards, Osiris Torrance, the projected starting offensive line. Then I have Ryan Vandermark, who I think you can make the argument is the number one depth tackle, potentially swing tackle. I know he struggled at right tackle last year, but I'm very interested to see how he responds to that and how he plays this training camp at the right tackle spot. Alec Anderson, who can play all 5 positions, gives you a little bit of center flex to me. He's like the modern day Ike Butker, Ryan Bates, any of those guys. He's on the roster. Cedric Van Pran Granger, who I feel like over the course of the summer, the energy behind him and his potential charge for the starting center job, or maybe a guard job. I know some people don't think he can play guard, but the Bills said that they have some position flex there. And then the last one was challenging. The first one I sent you, as I was kind of working through the exercise, I had Lyle Collins cut, and I had Tommy Doyle making the roster. Actually, I think the first go around, I had Tylan Grable. Then I did it again, and then I had Tommy Doyle in there. Then I did it again, and I decided on Lyle Collins. And the reason I did that is because I think of that group, Richard Garage, Tommy Doyle, and Tylan Grable, you'll be able to get one, maybe two of those guys back on your practice squad. I think they brought Lyle Collins in here for his experience. If you get dinged up at the tackle spot, he can play both spot, be your true swing tackle. And this is also based on the fact that maybe Vandermark doesn't take the jump at right tackle, doesn't show well there during the summer, and you want to have a guy in Collins who has played some pretty decent right tackle at times over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, and I liked the way you worked through that, because when you had Grable on it originally, I said, "Ooh, that's a little bit of a surprise. I have him as a practice squad guy. Only played O-line for 4 years. I think you can sneak him on." But the where you landed, I agreed with that. I agree with Lyle Collins making this roster. Tommy Doyle, I like the guy. Again, he was one of those big monstrous offensive linemen that they drafted in this tenure, alongside some other monsters that they've had in the last 2 or 3 years. He's had some injuries. He's had some setbacks. It's kind of stunted his development to a certain extent. So I could see him being a practice squad member on this team, but I don't see him on there. Garage, I think, is another year two practice squad player. And then when it comes to, you know, no Will Clapp among the offensive linemen, there's always one or two veterans that they bring in that just don't make this roster. He's kind of in that. I don't know if he's, I don't consider him a lock. I don't know if he's going to make this roster, but he's, again, in the has a chance category for me.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's move on to the defensive side of the ball. We got a meeting at 4 p.m., so we got to rock this thing out. You know, we've been, you know, going through all the insider texts. Yesterday, you put out a text about the schedule being kind of delayed and asked our insiders what kind of games they're excited about this offseason. I put out my 53-man roster early this morning. The insiders get everything first. They get to kind of talk back and forth with both of us. I went through, answered a bunch of questions in there as well, talking back and forth. Some people took some issues with my 53-man roster, and that's what I like. I like having those conversations as we kind of work through everything. 716-528-6727. That is the number to text. If you text that number, you'll get a message back. You could sign up to become an insider. It's a 2-week free trial, $3.99 a month after that, or just go over to joinsubtext.com/shoutbuffalobills. That for some people, that's easier way to sign up. Same concept, 2-week free trial, $3.99 a month after that. Shout text line is brought to you by Kerry C. Beyer, attorney with the law offices of Francis M. Litro, located 237 Main Street in Buffalo, New York. If you or someone you know is seriously injured, give them a call, 716-852-1234, or check out litrolaw.com. Defensive line, I have one kind of maybe borderline surprise cut. I heard about it in the insider text line. I have Von Miller making the roster, Greg Rousseau, AJ Epinesa, rookie Javon Solomon, Dwayne Smoot, Kingsley Jonathan. So six edge rushers and then only four interior guys. Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, Dwayne Carter, and Austin Johnson coming over from the Chargers. I have the Bills cutting Deshaun Williams. And the reason he comes over from Denver, journeyman kind of guy. I know a lot of people took issue with this, but I think he's the kind of guy, like a veteran that didn't have a huge market, ends up signing with the Bills in the second or third wave of free agency. And I think, you know, if you love him and he's a perfect fit for your system, sure, I'll flip-flop a little bit there and maybe put him in my final 53-man projection. But as of now, I see a path to getting him back on the practice squad. And I think that this allowed them to keep seven wide receivers. I'd be fine if maybe later in the summer I flip and I'm saying, oh no, these are the six wide receivers that deserve to make the team. Let's go 11 defensive linemen, or in a minute, six linebackers. I only have the Bills keeping five. We'll get into that in a moment.
Yeah, the way you broke it down, I actually agreed with it. And you didn't have Casey Tuhill making the roster either. Mm-hmm. So two free agent signings that don't make it, neither would surprise me. Both could be those veteran practice squad additions. You like players like that. I know there's a limit on how many veterans you can have, but it wouldn't shock me if that's how it all kind of laid out for the Bills. They like Kingsley Jonathan. His pressure rate, based on the limited snaps that he had last year, was really good. You hope that he continues to develop. I know he's kind of like that odd man out because, like you said, Von Miller, Greg Rousseau, AJ Epenesa, those are in the lot category. Javon Solomon, I would even put him in the lot category. They drafted him. I know it was on day three, but they like his game. He's a little bit different than what they do in terms of the height, weight category, but there's a lot of promise there. They saw him at the Senior Bowl. They like his game a lot. So I'm even willing to call him a lock. And then after that, you know, Smoot, to your point and what you put in the insider text line, those void years that they have on his contract tell me that he's pretty well set to make this roster. When he's been healthy, he's been a productive edge rusher DN in his career, so I like that one as well. And then D tackle, yeah, Deshaun Williams is the tough cut there, but you do have four able bodies and four players that I think are ahead of him right now on the depth chart.
For me, Solomon too is like the kind of juice bringing defensive edge rusher that they've been lacking in the play. And listen, I'm not trying to, you know, glorify this guy and put him on some pedestal and say he's the missing piece to what the Bills have been lacking on their defensive line over the last couple of years. But if you like what you see, the production in college was unbelievable. I mean, the guy leaves Troy as one of the all-time sack leaders. I mean, guys have gone there. OCU, Mignora. Who was the other guy that was it? Dexter Lawrence? Not Dexter Lawrence.
DeMarcus Ware.
DeMarcus Ware, who actually recently went back there, and Javon Solomon was saying it was like a holiday at Troy with him coming back, and how much they, you know, they breed pass rushers at that school. There's a history there. And so I think that there's a role for him, and it might not be a, you know, 40, 50, 60% of the snaps kind of situation, but even at 20% as a fifth edge rusher, however this thing shakes out, keep him fresh, let him develop, let him learn from Von Miller over the course of the season. You know, that's the one thing that I think no matter what Von Miller you get, that he's still very useful for. And that's passing on, you know, these pass rush summits that he runs in Vegas. I mean, they are like the rave reviews across the board. Guys like Max Crosby, guys like DeMarcus Ware, guys like who was one of the big ones there a couple years ago? Chandler Jones, who's kind of gone in a different direction. But
Max Crosby, you name it. I mean, they're all there and they're all raving about that. And even without the pass rush summit, Matt, the first year that Von Miller was in Buffalo when he was healthy at training camp, he was kind of holding court after practice too, off on the side with the young guys, especially showing them things, answering their questions. So yes, there is great value in that with a guy like Solomon who produced at Troy and the Bills are hoping is going to produce in the NFL.
So linebacker, I got five: Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, Dorian Williams, who I think is the number one backup. We'll see if he has any flex to play inside outside. We know Nicholas Morrow does, which, by the way, when I was texting this, my 53 man to Ryan, it kept auto-correcting that to Nicholas Morris. So thankfully you caught that. Didn't catch it in time for the insider text line, but I feel like our insiders knew what I was going for there. And then I have Deion Jones as the number five guy here. And this is going to be interesting because I had Deion Jones off of my first iteration of this. And I had Eddie Lufoscio in his place. And the more I kind of sit here and look at it, the more I want to flip it back and put Ulofosio back and take Jones out. And that's only because I feel like Jones has a specific, we don't know enough about Jones and Morrow and how they view them and what they want to do with them. Morrow started a ton of games at Mike last year for Philadelphia after injury. So I feel like if you have that guy, you have Dorian Williams, who I think is going to only be a better version of what he was last year, and that is as that number one depth outside linebacker. You know, you don't need necessarily to keep a Deion Jones for insurance. You got plenty of insurance there with the top four. Now you're talking about like who's going to be the best special teams player, and I think you want to start training a guy like Ulofosio to be like a long-term fit in that department.
Yeah, I agree. I think Eddie has a great chance to be a special teams contributor on this team for a long time. And he was also taken in, though, you know, I know day three, but he was taken early enough on day three, Matt, that I think the Bills don't want to risk trying to have him clear through waivers. I think they would risk losing him. So he's someone that I view as making this roster. Wouldn't surprise me if Nicholas Moreau and Deion Jones are battling for one job. And right. It's just good to have two vets kind of fighting for that position. You know, Baylen Specter is a tough one to be cut off of this list too. Last year, remember, you know, he was in the mix for a starting job at one point at training camp, and he actually impressed us at camp. When he was on the field late last year, he impressed us. Injuries getting dinged up, though, have been kind of issues for Baylen Specter. But special teams play, he can do that too. So he has a shot. He's someone that if he doesn't make this roster, it would be a priority practice squad player for the Bills. But they have some tough decisions at linebacker, too. I know there's some questions about the position itself, some concern about Matt Milano. Will he be ready? Will he be healthy? And the depth behind these guys. But the Bills have done a good job of developing linebackers. I expect big things from Dorian Williams, like you said, the third linebacker on this team in year two. And I think that they have a lot of quality depth behind that.
Yeah, the thing on Specter to me was a really like easy call. It's just like the availability just hasn't been there. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have this large of a sample size now, that bakes into the evaluation. If you lose them, you're like, man, that's tough, but we couldn't really count on him to find any kind of health over the course of his career. And listen, I think early in the career, like I don't want to ding him too much for the rookie season, because I felt like Specter kind of fit into the Bills rookie model with day three picks a lot of times, where, you know, maybe they, you know, their hamstrings a little bit tender, or, you know, for lack of a better term. And then there's like, yeah, let's put him on IR. Let's try to sneak him through and get him on, and then put him on the pup list, or, you know, whatever that ends up looking like. There's a couple of those potential options this time. You know, when we talk about Ulufoshio Solomon, you know, if there's any kind of injury throughout training camp, the new rule in the NFL is you can put two players on injured reserve before the 53-man cutoff date, and you don't have to cut them. Like, that you could put them on injured reserve. They could return later in the season. So I think that that's kind of like a nice, or keep them on your roster, I should say, over the deadline, and then put them on injured reserve. You could just do it beforehand. They get taken out of the mix. They can return later in the season. And now you don't have to do the Reed Ferguson special, the right. You know, handshake deal. And then we'll see you tomorrow. Wait in the parking lot.
Yeah. And that is a nice new addition to the rules, and you're right. We can't project injuries or what could happen or who they want to give a redshirt season to. But all of those options are on the table when it comes to some of these rookies.
All right. Defensive back is next. And by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, thank you very much. Hit that like button, subscribe as well. We're on that trek for 11,000 subscribers. So help us out. If you're new here, if you just found the Shout podcast, please hit that like and subscribe button and tell a friend. Why not? Bills fan, AFC East fan, whatever. NFL fan, get them in. There's always some fun comments in here from other fan bases. Sometimes they get blocked, but that's neither here nor there. All right, defensive back. Christian Benford, Rasul Douglas, Kyer Elam, Jamarcus Ingram, Taron Johnson, Daquan Hardy, who I think is the Bills pick punt kick returner. So I think he's going to have a role back up to Taron Johnson. Then I have four safeties making the roster. Taylor Rapp, Cole Bishop, Mike Edwards, and Cam Lewis, who has that flexibility, which means Damar Hamlin gets released. You know, it was a tough call here, because in a lot of ways you can view Cam Lewis as like a hybrid slot safety, and maybe you'd want a more traditional safety only in Hamlin. Keeping 11 defensive backs, that's not out of the realm of possibility, and we know what Hamlin has meant to this organization. But in the end, it got to be a numbers game, and we'll see what kind of summer he has. If he's able to bounce back in a big way and make a really strong run at a roster spot, I might change my tune by the time we get to the start of training camp. But I just think it's going to be a numbers game, and there just won't be enough roster spots for Hamlin in the end.
Yeah, and the way that you projected the defensive backs is exactly how I would have done it, so no pushback here. Wouldn't surprise me if during the summer months another cornerback was added to the mix, though. Safety room, Damar Hamlin, there's a lot of criticism to him on social media, but before everything that took place, he started quite a few games, yeah. And yeah, there were some issues with him in terms of tackling and coverage. He wasn't Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, which no one could be at that point in time, the way that they were playing at such a high level over that year. So I still think he has a chance, but I agree with you. He's right now that odd man out in the safety room.
All right, let's get to what everybody's been waiting for, the specialists.
Oh, yeah.
The biggest curveball of them all in this mock or this mock 53-man. Whatever, it's not mock draft. It's a 53-man roster projection. I'm just talking nonsense. Punter, Ryan. There's three, well, about to be three on the roster once the UDFAs are announced. Matt Hawk, veteran, back for his second run with the Bills here. Sam Martin, the incumbent, the starter for the last two seasons. And Jack Browning, the second San Diego State punter that the Bills have rostered in 3 years. Matt Araiza, obviously, they drafted him in the fifth round a couple years ago. Ryan, I have the Bills keeping Jack Browning, a guy who, if you go back and look at some of the stuff at San Diego State, dude's a stud. I mean, the dude was a high-level athlete coming into college. The only like box he's got to check is, can he hold? And to me, that might be like the final audition point and why Matt Hawk is even still on this roster, because I think they want a big bounce back year for Tyler Bass. And if this kid can't hold, that's going to be a problem. But I wonder, once we talk to Bean, how much the evaluation of him as a holder went into their decision to sign him as a UDFA.
And punter is one of those positions that's been pretty underwhelming. Matt Hawk, you mentioned it. Holding is a specialty. Punting is not at this point in his career. So hopefully this is not where he ends up on the regular season. That would be a big red flag for me. Sam Martin has had his moments. Kudos to him for gutting out an injury last year and playing through it at one point, punting the ball. But you do wonder a little bit about Tyler Bass's performance and some of his kicks and the way that they kind of took off on him last year. Was that a holding issue? Who knows? I mean, it seemed like they had a good rapport at one point in terms of the holding and kicking. But the Bills bringing in Browning, I'm A-okay if he ends up coming to training camp, showing off a big leg and showing that he can hold. Sometimes the unknown is an okay route to go. You don't just want to go with the vet to go with the vet. You want a guy that can get the ball off quickly as a punter. And if he can hold, that's going to help his case significantly.
All right, that's it. The 53-man roster projection. We'll be back in 2 days, Friday, rookie minicamp. Our observations podcast begin 5 weeks of just madness. We're going to bring you every little nook and cranny, every little detail from One Bills Drive. Wing Nuts is coming up a week from Friday, May 17th, 6 p.m. You're looking at me kind of funny.
No, I was reading the comments.
That a boy. 6 p.m. May 17th at Wing Nuts. It'll kind of be like that in between from rookie minicamp and the start of OTA. So we'll do our kind of our OTA's preview. We'll take some fan questions. We'll have some fun. Come on out, get on the show, have some beers, have some laughs, talk Bills, eat some delicious wings. It's going to be great. Ryan Talbot, final thought.
Final thought, Bills Mafia, stick with us. We'll have you covered next week on the schedule release. Should be some fun games to kind of break down and discuss, and join us at Wing Nuts on the 17th.
All right, there it is. Take care, everybody.